Peter and the Jailbirds, Chapter 9, Many Kinds of Power. Peter staggered to his feet and pressed his hands against the wall. "No," he said breathlessly. "No, no, no, please, no!" The silence and darkness pressed against him like a living thing, smothering him like a supervillain he'd failed to take down. The collar weighed heavily around his neck. Peter punched the wall, then slumped back against it, viciously scrubbing back tears. He was sure they were listening in, maybe even watching him on an infrared camera. He couldn't give them the satisfaction of watching him collapse. He couldn't. He wouldn't. He'd be fine. It was just dark, after all, and quiet. Really dark, and really quiet, even to his enhanced senses. He was fine now, completely fine. Everyone was fine here. But who knew how long they'd keep him here? Could be a day, could be a week, could be the rest of his life. He was so fucked. He could escape, maybe, punch his way through the wall. How thick could it be? Find the seam, pry it open? His hands weren't even cuffed. They couldn't have had time to reinforce the collar with vibranium over the circuits. He could find a way to take it off again. And then what? They'd gas him again. Easy, when the entire place was a series of airtight chambers. They'd shock him. They'd put him back down here, for good this time. If all else failed, they'd threaten May. How long could Stark Security keep her safe? "Please," he whispered, voice cracking in half. He pressed his forehead to the wall, hands splayed across the cold steel. "I just want to go home." He wondered distantly when he'd start hallucinating. "Hey, Tony," MJ said. "Friday," Tony said without looking up from his workbench. "I'm sure there's a great reason you let Michelle and Ned con their way into the compound." "They're very persuasive, boss. Also, Pepper put them on the list of permitted guests 2 months ago."
"Is there a reason you're talking to your AI instead of the people standing in front of you?" MJ asked.
"It's nothing personal," Tony said, voice echoing strangely off the smooth lines of the Iron Man suit he was working on. "Friday and I have an understanding. I prefer electronic communication."
"Well, that's unfortunate," MJ said, "because we came here to talk to you."
"How did they even get in here?"
"They rang Pepper. Happy drove them upstate."
"Happy!" Tony roared.
"Pepper told me to," Happy called from the corridor outside Tony's lab.
"Oh, I'm going to have a talk with Pepper," Tony said.
"No, you're not," Happy said.
"No, I'm not," Tony agreed.
"Also, you both need to trot back to Queens with Happy. Chop chop, I can't help you with your homework."
"You need to get Peter out of the raft," Ned said.
"Thanks," Tony wiggled his screwdriver out of the tight socket he'd stuck it into, then stuck it behind his ear. "Any other helpful suggestions?"
"You promised you would," Ned pressed. "It's been 2 months, and he's still there. We can help."
"You don't understand how these things work."
"I'll give you a second to think about how condescending that was," MJ said.
"You're in high school."
"Then teach us," MJ said.
"I don't have time for that."
"Like you don't have time to help Peter get out either," Ned said, "even though it's your fault he's in there."
"Nope, not my fault. I didn't write the—"
"You signed them," MJ said. "That was enough."
"And I have been doing everything I can to take them down."
Tony set down the Iron Man gauntlet and turned to face them. "Sweet-talking, bribes, lobbying, arm-twisting, threats, more bribes, seduction, hostile business takeovers, so many bribes. Nothing worked then, and it's not working now. They aren't even listening to money."
"That must be a new experience for you," MJ said. "Do you seriously think the Avengers can't crack the raft?"
"The Avengers are gone."
"The Avengers disbanded," MJ leaned closer, "because you put half of them in jail and drove the rest underground. But they're still alive. They could still help you."
"Thor is in his own dimension. Bruce hasn't been seen in years. Black Widow betrayed us. Rhodey is out of commission. Vision claimed he hit Rhodey because he was distracted. Androids don't get distracted, so I've decommissioned him until I have time to work through his algorithm to see what went wrong. The Black Panther was never an official Avenger, and anyway, he has a country to rule. Ant-Man is also not an Avenger. He's a party trick."
"And Captain America?" Ned folded his arms across his chest. "The Winter Soldier?" MJ stood firm, shoulder to shoulder with him.
"Are you guys trying to look intimidating?" Tony asked. "Because it's really not working."
"Even if the three of you are the only Avengers left," Ned said, "you could still take down the raft."
"And then what? Live as fugitives for the rest of our lives? Join Natasha and Bruce and the giant bug in their hideout?" and then you find a way to fix this. I've tried everything I can. You haven't talked to Captain America, MJ said. If you had, you'd have found a way to break everyone out of the raft by now, or fix the Accords so they can go free. Why haven't you talked to him? You have no idea what you're talking about. Then explain, Ned said. The Winter Soldier killed my parents. So you said, hello, my name is Tony Stark, prepare to die? Ned asked. Tony reddened slightly. He deserved it, so did Cap. He knew, and he never told me. I'm sorry for your loss, MJ said. She stepped closer to Tony, quietly enjoying the way he had to lift his chin slightly to look her in the eye. You know who else doesn't have parents? More than 18 million other children in the world, including Peter. You're allowed to grieve. You're not allowed to hurt other people because of your grief. That's not how it works. You have no idea how it feels to lose your parents, Tony hissed. Do you have any idea how it feels to lose your child? Because May has lost hers. Tony's eyes pinched at the edges, glinting slightly in the bright light of his workbench. You have power, MJ said. Many kinds of power. Use them.